friends, welcome back to AllieCast. I am fired up about today's episode. I have Tara Bosch, who is the founder of Smart Suites. And if you haven't heard of Smart Suites, you've been living under a damn rock because they are everywhere. They are a better-for-you candy brand who is on a mission to kick sugar. I was actually introduced to Tara through a mutual founder friend, and she ended up coming on and investing in our business, and I am just so grateful to have her in our corner. And Tara is incredibly impressive. In just 4 years, Smart Suites exited for over $360 million at just the age of 27. But the most powerful thing of all is that Tara didn't have an MBA. She didn't have any fancy business degree. In fact, her dad was a bus driver and her mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she had no prior business experience. And in today's episode, she talks a lot about the power of the mind, visualization, affirmations, and manifestation, and how that helped her get to the place she was with her business. She also talks about how, interestingly enough, the Smart Suites acquisition was just the beginning for them. This is one of my favorite episodes yet. You guys are going to love her. So much great advice. Get out your notepad because you're going to need to take notes for this one, baby. All right. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Tara. I am so excited to chat. Tara is the founder of Smart Suites. And if you don't know what Smart Suites is, you have been living under a rock for quite some time. It's a better for you candy company and just one of my favorite treats and desserts when I'm looking for a little oral fixation. And Tara is also an advisor here at Oat House. And she just has so many different learnings and experiences from her time running her own company and growing it as quickly as she did. So Tara, I'm so excited to have you and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Ditto, of course, for you anytime.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I guess we can just start out with maybe a little bit about you. So, you know, who are you? What's your journey like? And maybe give people a little behind the scenes about Tara.
Sure. I am always so scatterbrained when it comes to the broad, tell me about yourself, but
kind of
in a nutshell, I guess. My name is Tara. I founded now 5 years ago, started my journey to innovate the first candy that kicks sugar, but ultimately it was about creating accessibility to candy that people could feel good about and really being a needle mover in the larger global low sugar movement where people can feel empowered by what they're putting into their bodies. And prior to that, I was just a sugar addict and loved candy above all things. And it impacted my body image and my self-esteem and how I felt about myself. And so in my journey to having a healthy relationship with food, it really became about finding just choices that I could enjoy sustainably and that were better for me. And that didn't exist with candy. So yeah, that was kind of the inception of Smart Suites. And it has now been 5 years.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? I'm sure it's like one of those things too, where you're like, I can't believe it's been 5 years, but at the same time, it probably felt like your entire life for so long that you're like, was it only 5 years? You know, when you're working overtime.
The startup life.
I know, it's wild. Cool. I'd love to dive more into your journey before you started it. So take us back as far back as you want to go. And just, have you always been fascinated by entrepreneurship or starting your own company? Because I have a lot of people listening that will reach out to me and say, you know, I'm so interested in doing my own thing, but I don't know what to do. Or on the flip side, they're like, I have all these ideas, but I'm sort of feeling, you know, paralysis by analysis. Just like, I can't jump and just do something. So what was your journey like with being an entrepreneur? Was that something that always you knew you wanted to do in your heart? Or was it sort of like my situation where I had this idea and I was like, okay, I guess this is happening. Like it kind of not fell in your lap, but yeah. What was your journey like?
I was always curious. Like as far back as I remember, I was like watching Canada's version of Shark Tank, Dragon's Den, like writing down my ideas on a pad. And I always had like a really strong kind of a sense of ambition and wanting to go out and do something in the world. So like as soon as I turned 13, I got a full-time job split between McDonald's and Domino's and then was working full-time all the way through high school, but I never really had the self-confidence to believe that I was actually capable of acting on any of my ideas. So I was constantly ideating, but I was really stuck in kind of my own mind and the box that I was creating for myself of, I'm not capable. I don't know how to do this. I just wouldn't be able to do it. And it really wasn't until I worked at a supplement store where my boss really helped me heal my relationship with food that I actually gained confidence for the first time, where I felt like I was capable. And it's so funny how that's linked. Like, I just literally felt better about myself as a human. And so I began feeling capable of doing other things in life. That's really when I began surrounding myself with people and my mind with the knowledge to kind of reiterate in my subconscious that I was capable. So I started watching like YouTube videos of people I was inspired by, and TED Talks and podcasts and reading books and putting quotes everywhere in my house to really reinforce every single day that I am capable. And that led me to acting on my first idea, which was a startup called Deckled Out, basically vinyl and chalkboard wall decals for students and renters. But that idea ultimately failed because I really focused on what I wanted instead of what the consumer needed. And it was the biggest blessing because it was the stepping stone for Smart Sweets to happen, which was my next idea.
Wow. I mean, that's so cool. Just almost, it feels like you almost did affirmations to kind of convince yourself that you were capable, which is something that I know is so powerful. I've just been getting into, like, you know, Joe Dispenza's work, and I'm like 10 years behind all of these sort of more spiritual side of things, but I feel like it's really something that I poo-pooed for a long time because I was like, oh, this is woo-woo, you know, what, this isn't really going to move the needle, like action over everything. And it's just so incredible the more that I learn about it. And obviously your journey speaks volumes to that as well. Just like the power of the mind and the power of belief of yourself, because, and actually I'd love to touch on your journey with food more if you want to go into that and your relationship with food, because I know you mentioned that, you know, you had a sugar addiction, but was there anything else? Like, did you struggle with food in other ways and you had to heal from that? Like, did you ever struggle with disordered eating, or was it more just like sugar had this chokehold over you and it was kind of just breaking free from that?
Yeah. And it's so true what you say about mindset and belief, because it's 100% true. It's like, once you decide something is going to happen and you feed that into your mind daily, which is important because it has to be daily to affirm it, the universe supports you, and the action that you take in the world, slowly things just start to happen. Does it make it less scary and uncomfortable and all of the things? But yeah, on the food front, so I think, so like, as far back as I can remember, like when I always in my mind, even before I had an unhealthy relationship with food, I had body dysmorphia for sure, where like I remember in grade 2, I was looking in the mirror at Junior Jacobs and I was like a stick, but I wouldn't come out of the change room because I was terrified of looking at how I looked and that the sales associate would judge me. And so I think I didn't necessarily, I guess, have disorder with food, but I had like a very dysfunctional relationship between myself body wise. And then as I grew older and learned about food and then started restricting myself, and then the restriction would lead to binging on it, and just this really unhealthy cycle that kept me feeling bad about myself, lacking self-esteem and confidence. And I really didn't break that cycle until working at that supplement store, where I learned like it's not about restricting yourself from your favorite foods. It's just about finding better choices.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, thank you for sharing that. I personally had no idea, but it's so common. It's just the more I talk about this and the more that I share my journey, and obviously, you know, just by you even sharing that little bit about your journey, it opens up the space for other people to, number one, not feel alone about what they're going through, and number two, to share their own experience and their own struggles. And yeah, it's just eye-opening to me how many people have also struggled with that. And I think body dysmorphia is something that I still very much struggle with. And it's one of those things that, you know, you can heal your relationship with food. And I feel very proud to say that I've worked on that. Like, you know, you were saying you really did as well once you started working at that supplement store, which I would love to hear more about that. But then it's like, people don't really talk about, you can heal your relationship with food, and then, you know, the body image issues seem to linger much longer, I feel like. And that's been sort of my next chapter and my next evolution of, you know, I went from this place of being body neutral, right? Where I'm like, okay, I at least don't hate my body. Like, I feel neutral towards my body. I don't wake up and I'm like, you know, saying negative things to it in the mirror. But now how do I get from this place of body neutrality to body love? And I think if you were to talk to me a year ago, I would have been like, body love is just this, like, you know, pie in the sky idea. It's not real. Like, no one experiences that. And I think that limiting belief, tying it back to kind of affirmations and mental health, like, it was really keeping me stuck. And it's like, why can't I have that? You know, like, we have one life. Why can't I love myself every day? And maybe it's not every day, but maybe it's most days. And that's, you know, great. That's better than what it is now, where I'm sort of like, okay, I have a body, but like, I don't love it and I don't hate it. Like, it just exists. So I'd love to hear more about your journey to healing your relationship with food and what that looked like for you.
Yeah, the journey is not a straight line. I 100% agree. And it can feel confusing because it's like, I worked to heal this part of myself. Why am I having these thoughts? Like, even if you're just observing the thoughts and trying not to accept them as the truth. But I would say it's the same, I guess. And kind of interestingly as well, I feel like it kind of parallels in startup life and company building as well, in the sense of like, it's, you can't just heal yourself, I feel like, and then it's like, done. I've moved on to the next chapter. I feel like it has to be like an everyday practice. Otherwise, all of a sudden, like, I'll notice myself thinking something about myself or like looking in the mirror and having like negative self-talk. And then I'm like, hold on, why am I feeling this way about myself? And like, most often it's because I dropped the like intentionality of every single day having like self-affirmations and really kind of reinstating the positivity of self. Yeah. But, and it's interesting because like you said, like, kind of still, I feel like it's a journey that doesn't end. And does it ever end? Maybe it's a lifelong journey. Could be. But I think also I found like now having the awareness that like, I am not my thoughts. And so if I am having a thought, knowing that like, it doesn't mean it's true, I really find peace and power in that. Because when I was younger, if I thought something, I would accept it as truth about myself. And now I know I have the power that I may have these thoughts, but it doesn't mean that they're true. And I can reshape those thoughts and replace it with a new one.
Yes. Oh, so good. Have you read Untethered Soul?
No, I haven't.
You have to. It's so, I reached out to one of my girlfriends who's like, she's this little just like Zen Buddha. Like, I can't explain it. She just like is so, it feels like she's just like so with it and like spiritually. And I messaged her and I was like, I am really looking to explore this part of my life, because I mean, before I was similar to you. It was like, you know, I had all of these issues and it was like, if it wasn't like, I thought about meditation and spirituality and I was like, those things are a waste of time because they don't burn calories. You know, like, that was my mindset. It was just like very one-dimensional. And she told me, she was like, this is like the spirituality gateway drug. Like, you have to read this book. It's like the starter pack. So I'm in it right now. And it's so funny that you said that, because that's the whole idea. Like, throughout the whole book, he talks about, you are like, you know, self, like capital S self is this person that, or not, it's not even person. It's like you energetically. And picture yourself in, I almost like picture it like in a director's chair, where I'm in like the back of my mind in a director's chair and all these thoughts are swirling around, like you were saying, and you're just watching them. And I think just for people listening, like, that process, and it's so powerful to just listen or to just observe the thoughts and just realize that it's not you, but that separation is like the most powerful thing. Not saying it's easy, because I forget all the time and I get caught in my swirl of like, you know, melodrama. But yeah, he really talks about separating yourself from thoughts, separating yourself from emotions as well. And you're not an anxious person. You're just experiencing anxiety. And just that shift is everything. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And it's just, for anyone listening, I will link that book in the show notes, because it's a really powerful one.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, it kind of gives you, I feel like, it's such a freeing practice to know that you're not your thoughts, because you're not kind of held prisoner or captive to anything that's floating in your mind or anything that someone else has said that's triggered you to have thoughts about yourself.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of so many examples right now. Like, you know, anyone listening, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I look ugly today. It's like, that's not true, right? Like that's a thought and it's not the truth. But for so long, it's like, I would think that. And I'm like, that's true. Like I'm an ugly person. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, think I'm a hot piece of shit. And so it's just funny, you know, it's like my appearance didn't change. It's just my thoughts about it. I'd love to hear about your daily mental practice that kind of keeps you, because you keep talking about, you know, this is a daily practice. This is something I do on a daily basis. Could you walk people through if you have any sort of like morning routine or, you know, just things that you sort of try to do daily to keep yourself feeling really good mentally and physically?
So it's something with that, like in company building and in startup life, I had to be really intentional about, because so much happens on any given day that if I didn't like pause in the morning, even just to take like 5 minutes to think of three things that I'm grateful for, to read some of the quotes I had saved in an Evernote note coming across, like even just those little things like that, nothing huge, but it would really keep me grounded in a place of like excitement and inspiration, or it would bring me back to that place instead of being in a place of fear and uncertainty. And I think it's kind of the same now as well, where for me, it's not so much, I guess, this routine as it is just kind of making sure in the beginning of the day and at the end of the night that I, even if I'm tired or whatever it may be, I just take those moments to think of what I'm grateful for and to like ground myself through something that I find to be inspiring, bring me back down, and to end my night like that as well. Because I find that when I end my night kind of injecting, I like to call it mind fuel, because kind of like we need food for our body, I feel like we need food for our mind, and the quality of that food like determines how we kind of go about our day and our thoughts. So I'll be really intentional to end my day with something that I think is positive mind fuel. And then I find when I wake up in the morning, I'm just happier. If I end my day scrolling on Instagram, I'll like find myself waking up in the morning sad. And I'm like, why am I sad? And then I'll be like, because I wasn't being intentional about what I was planting into my mind.
I've never heard that before. And I love it so much. It's like, it's such a visual thing too. It's like, yeah. And I'm just picturing like injecting some mind fuel into myself before I go to bed. And I love that. What's like an example, say, of something that you tell yourself before you go to bed? Is it like an affirmation? Like, I am powerful. I am capable. Like, I am beautiful. Or is it kind of just decompressing after the day and just not resorting to scrolling on social media to do that?
I think both. I think it's like, I don't get right every single day either, but just like try to like bring myself back to like observing why I'm feeling a certain way and what I may have done actions wise. But I think one that's really resonated with me recently, it's the kind of essence of it is, you cannot dream yourself into a character who you want to be. You must hammer and forge yourself into that. And kind of like what it means for me is like, you have to be really intentional about the action that you're taking to become who you're wanting to become or to create what you're wanting to create. And I found that to be really helpful, especially in like these like postpartum months, now that I have a 6 month old baby, in a very different way from company building and from actualizing a company's vision, but from actualizing feeling good about myself and my body and that sort of stuff.
It's so interesting too, how you kind of went from having, you know, your business be your baby to then just straight into, or feeling, you know, almost straight into motherhood, which is like obviously a real baby. And we could do a whole other podcast on like the whole postpartum side, because that's obviously your life right now. And I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in that, but I probably should switch to kind of more business things, just because, I mean, I could, again, like we could go forever, but would love to hear kind of the early days of Smart Suites and just what that looks like. If you could kind of teleport yourself back for people listening that maybe are interested in starting their own thing, but they don't know where to begin. you know, what were some really helpful things for you in the beginning? Were you just like Google University, you know, kind of figuring everything out yourself? Were there any mentors in your life or any resources that you recommend sort of for like early day startup building?
Yeah. So when I started Smart Suite, I had absolutely no business knowledge, no resources, no connections. My family was never in business. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad, when he was around earlier in life, was a bus driver. So really wasn't exposed to entrepreneurship or anything like that, other than through really Dragon's Den and Shark Tank growing up. So when I started Smart Suites, when I had the idea for Smart Suites, I had such a deep conviction in the idea because I truly, truly needed and felt like it needed to exist first for myself because I was looking for it. And I think some of the most powerful ideas come from that authenticity of it's something that you've identified or come across or stumbled on because it's something that you're looking for, something that would be really transformative in your own life. And so I kind of similar, it sounds like, to what a lot of folks that reach out to you where they're like, I have this idea, but I don't know where to start. So yeah, I just started Googling. I mean, the power of Google now, it's so normalized for us, but like you can reach any person in a matter of seconds now, which is just crazy, and the accessibility through that. And one thing that I got really clear on really quickly, and it really gave me the conviction and the confidence to continue moving forward each and every day, was clarity on the vision for Smart Suites. And so I decided, like, from day one, the vision was to be the global leader in revolutionizing candy. Little different wording at that time, but it was the exact same essence. And so in my mind, I decided from day one, as I was just getting the ingredients to recipe test in my kitchen, so hasn't even begun existing in the world yet, I decided that like this idea, this vision has happened 5 years from now. Smart Suites is the leader in low sugar candy. 10 years from now, Smart Suites is the global leader in low sugar candy. 20 years from now, kids are reflecting back on their childhood days, thinking of Smart Suites, the nostalgia of that being their favorite childhood candy. And now it's just a matter of reverse executing it. And that was hugely powerful because for me, in the external world, it looked like I was just a girl recipe testing in my kitchen. But in my mind, Smart Suites already was a global company. It was just now rewinded back into the time, into the first day where I'm starting it. And that just filled my cup with so much confidence and excitement and energy, because although I felt overwhelmed and I didn't know where to start and I was fearful of all the uncertainty, because it felt so real in my mind through planting that belief every single day, it allowed me to take steps forward. So I just began Googling, finding people who had done what I aspired to do, and finding them on LinkedIn, asking for 5 minutes of their time and really valuing that, and then linking back with them to share how I had implemented it a few months later. So they knew I really took the golden nuggets they shared and applied them, and just taking the baby steps forward each and every day. And I think beginning to really get comfortable with fear and uncertainty and not mixing that up in my mind with fear and uncertainty, meaning it can't do it, and learning to normalize fear and uncertainty, which ironically now looking back, that feeling never goes away. It becomes almost more amplified, I feel like, as the company scales, because it's like, holy shit, now the stakes get larger and larger and larger, and you have more and more and more people relying on you that you want to do right by. There's a quote that like really resonated for me early on, and I still to this day like have it framed because I love it so much, and I really clung to that quote every single day reading it. The book name sucks. It's a horrible book name. Great book, like one of my top two books, but it's by a book called How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis. Again, like bad title, so corny, but the essence of the book is just like so powerful. And the quote was, "Stick with me, young brother or sister, for you're suffering from nothing more than lack of experience and there was another one, but it's escaping my mind. Two conditions that will pass with time and whose passing can be expedited by fierce determination and application. But basically saying, hey, and then it says, believe it or not, I'm envious of every one of you. So basically saying like, hey, the lack of experience and uncertainty of how to do this, that will pass with time and just with the determination and the energy and the moving forward every single day, you will get there. So I took a lot of peace in that.
Wow. Oh, that is such a powerful quote. And you know, what's so amazing to me is listening to you talk about the early days. It sounds like you mentioned you didn't have a lot of, you know, entrepreneurship running in your family. You didn't have a lot of early on mentors that were like, hey, this is how you run a successful business. And like you said, you didn't have any real like business experience right out of the gates. I think that's so great to hear because so many people, like of course there's, you know, you can go to business school and whatever. And like, that's helpful, but it's also so nice to know that for people listening that are like, I don't have business experience either. And maybe feeling like they're a step behind or feeling like they can never succeed because they don't have these, you know, quote unquote degrees or skills. I'm really glad you mentioned that. But something else that's amazing is it feels like you're so wise, or you were so wise in the early days. Obviously you are, you know, even wiser as we get older, but where did that come from? Like just knowing that you had to kind of reverse engineer this grand vision that you had for your business, or, you know, reminding yourself of this quote every single day. Like, were those just things that you sort of felt were right to do? Or was there anything in the early days that kind of was your guiding light or showed you, you know, how to do these things? Maybe it's a resource, or maybe it's a YouTube video, or was there anything like that? Or were those things kind of just instilled in you from day one?
Yeah, I think the realization I had was just that, like, to stop myself from becoming paralyzed in fear and the uncertainty of not knowing and just getting caught in my own mind, that the mindset and the mind fuel really became kind of the thing that allowed me to continue to wake up every day and take another step forward and work through that fear to pick up the phone and make that call, or to go and show up at the accelerator that we are accepted into. Because fear and like that feeling, even like when I reminisce on it, I like feel like what that feels like again. It can be very paralyzing. And so I feel like it's so important, especially in those early days when it's just you and your own thoughts, to really harness that and channel in it to something that you use as a tool to continue to move forward instead of kind of freezing you to get to where you want it going.
Mm, so powerful. Yeah. It's so hard when you're in it, right? Like it's even easy for, you know, you and I right now, because we're both sort of in this, I'm obviously in the thick of it, definitely. But like right now, in our conversation talking to you, I'm not feeling fear. I'm not feeling paralyzed because I'm having a great conversation. So it's easy to be like, yeah, just push through the fear. But when you're in it, when you feel that fear and you're just, your whole body tenses up, like it's really hard to push through it. So I think being able to rehearse that mentally in your mind almost really, at least really helped me. And like you were talking about, you know, with visualization and affirmations and all these things, I used to think they were so worthless and I used to think they were a waste of time. But what I found is that when it comes to actually executing and actually taking action, they are so powerful because you almost, when you rehearse it in your mind, it's like you're practicing and you still, like you said, you still feel those feelings because your mind is so powerful. It can take you back to a place and you can feel those emotions. And when you're there and you're in it, but you're not actually in the literal situation, you're just practicing for the grand event. And then when it comes, you're like, oh, I've done this before. Like, it's easy for me to just push through this fear and just take action. I'd love to talk about burnout. I'd love to talk about overwhelm and stress, because many of us, regardless of whether or not we want to start a business, if you're in a 9-to-5, life can be stressful. What are some tips that you have for people to combat that? Or what were things that really helped you when you guys were in the thick of growing and you were just like treading water? Like, what were some things that you did? Maybe it was self-care, mental health things, to kind of, I guess, maintain that work-life balance, whatever that means.
The pieces of language that I use that we still use today, like we call it flow instead of work-life balance, because like it all really just is a flow, and that flow looks different for everyone. If you have kids you have to drop off in the morning, then maybe you're starting your flow and progressing at 10 a.m. instead of someone who would be starting at 8 a.m. and going till 6. Like it's so different for everyone. But one of the things for me, and I don't know if I ever had it like figured out, but one of the things that I found to be like extremely helpful was, again, from like the very beginning of Smart Suites, starting from a place of, okay, like what is the vision? So it's like the vision is to become the global leader in revolutionizing candy. And I truly believed that in order to actualize that vision and Smart Suites to be that player, that we had to run like hell and we had to move at the speed of light, because I like worked every day assuming that there were 100 people behind me that were working on the very same thing. And so that really informed the time and pace at which I wanted to move to execute against actualizing the vision. And that was really key for me to set that intention, because it allowed me to say, okay, Smart Suites for the next period of time is going to be all encompassing for me. It's going to be what I wake up breathing and what I go to bed thinking about. And that worked for me because I was very intentional about why I was doing that. And so I didn't find that I got lost ever in the like, in the feeling of kind of feeling, I guess, exhausted from it being all encompassing. However, being a human and start of life, definitely had those feelings of like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. I would rather be doing anything than sitting here on my laptop on a Saturday night or on a Friday night. And so for me, I would really bring myself back and ground myself in the why. And that would be, for me, it was through inspiration. So I would always go back to our vision. I would always go back to how many grams of sugar we've kicked this year. I would always go back to reading articles about how excess sugar consumption is an epidemic that's silently making us sick around the world. All of those things would really ground me and give me my sense of purpose back to like, no, like I'm doing this not just for me, but because the impact I know it's going to be creating for others in the world. And I feel called to do this. So that was really grounding for me. Everyone's in a different place in life. Of course, some people have kids. Some people don't want to dedicate their entire life to actualizing their vision. That's okay. It's whatever works for everyone. And then I think on like the kind of more practical self-care things, for me, it was really important to be eating and fueling my body with foods that made me feel good. Otherwise, it would take a toll on me pretty quickly, as well as surrounding myself with people that I felt filled my cup was also something I had to be like extremely intentional about. And then I think in hindsight, what I would have done more of is I would have done more in just kind of the practice of like taking my dog for like a 2-hour walk and not letting me feel anxious about taking my dog on a 2-hour walk or something like that. So that's something I think I would have practiced more.
Yes. Oh, the guilt that comes. It's so funny because people are always like, oh, that's so cool. You have your own business. Like you must just be able to make your own schedule and your own hours. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. But then like, I felt guilty the other day for, you know, having an appointment in the middle of the day. And it's like, I would never feel guilty if I worked at a 9-to-5. And I, you know what I mean? It's just, it's funny when it's your own business and it's like, yeah, I can make my own schedule, but that means that my schedule is like 24/7, 365, which I'm not. I also don't want to glamorize like being a workaholic, because we know that that's not also good. But I love that you talked about that, more the tangible side and also just the mental side of almost embracing it is what I'm kind of getting, like, and being in flow and not thinking of it as like, oh my gosh, you know, of course we're human. We're going to have those moments where it's like, yeah, I don't want to be doing, you know, payroll on Saturday night or whatever, but also just embracing the journey and being like, I am building something and no one forced you into doing this. Like, that's what I always remind myself. Cause sometimes I'll kind of get like, woe is me, where it's like, I see my friends partying or going to brunch and I'm like, oh my God, I'm working all the time. It's like, Allie, like you signed up for this, like you actually created this. And also what a great problem to have that, you know, you're growing and, you know, you're busy. And so, yeah, I think it's just kind of that context switch, because sometimes we forget that our problems are actually things that we once dreamed about having.
Totally. And I think that's so powerful. Like what you said about like the, what was me and like the, cause I think it, like it's it, for me, it's why being intentional about your why is so important, because even like it would happen so often where people would be like, oh, you're working at midnight on a Saturday. Oh, you should take some time. Like, and then it would make me feel bad for myself for a second. And then I'm like, wait, no, like I chose this. Like, I don't have to be doing this, but this is a choice I'm making. And this is why I've chosen it for myself. And that's where I think there's no right or wrong. And it's different for everyone on how much or how little someone is working. I like to use the word progress instead of work. It like really helped me to reframe that as well. But there's no right or wrong. Someone else can't tell you that you are working or progressing too much. You only know that for yourself. But equally as toxic, I think, as like, as the kind of like, there's so much talk, I feel like, about the grinding and glamorizing of the hustle. But also on the flip, I feel like it's also dangerous to assume that because someone's working on a Saturday, that that's something that is not good for them, because it's not you, anyone else's choice or that knows that except for you.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Either way. I mean, for people that are, like you said, like even me just mentioning, I don't want to glamorize, you know, being a workaholic, but like maybe that works for someone. And also everyone has a different threshold. Like I think, and just really owning your threshold, because something that I've learned is, you know, Eric, my partner, also my co-founder, the guy can just go, like he can just grind for hours and days on end. And I really need that time every morning for myself. I need at least an hour to myself in the morning just to like have my me time. Maybe it's meditating, maybe it's movement, maybe it's just like sitting there with my warm beverage and like not thinking about work for a second. I need that. And for so long, I felt guilty about that. I felt like I was weak or less than, and that I wasn't grinding hard enough. And so it's like, no matter where you are on the spectrum, just owning that. And then same with Eric, I'd be like, you're going to burn out. Like, you know, like you need to take time for yourself. And he's like, I'm totally fine. Like you're the one that's projecting onto me what I need to do. So yeah, for anyone listening, just really kind of figuring out where you lie and then embracing it and really leaning into your strengths. And if you need more playtime, if you need more rest, like that's totally fine too. We all flow on different wavelengths. Okay. So kind of wrapping up. So I do want to get into the acquisition and just life after that, because I think it's something, it's almost this big event that no one, like very few people really know what it's like, right? Very few people actually get to a place where, you know, they're successful enough to either exit or IPO or whatever it is, this kind of selling event in your business. And it's also this benchmark. Maybe if you're not, you know, people listening are in a PhD program, it's like getting your PhD, like whatever this big moment is for you, getting promoted to be like CEO, whatever it is. But then what I've heard from a lot of people that get there is it's actually kind of anticlimactic, or it's actually, you know, maybe it's exciting for a little bit, but then they kind of feel lost because they're like, well, now what? You know, I spent my whole life grinding towards this thing and now it happened. My dad used to do Ironman triathlons and he would have this like depression, or like Olympians, they have it after the Olympics. So I'd love to hear your experience just with that. And obviously with how quickly you guys grew and the pace you were going at, what was it like when everything sort of slowed down? Or maybe it didn't slow down because you had Willa, but just take us through that acquisition journey and then your thought process and just kind of the mental side of things.
One of the realizations I had while building Smart Suites, and it's continued to ring true after our partnership with TBG, has been that anything, literally any, and it blows my mind. It's like so crazy that anything in life will normalize. Like anything in life can normalize. So what feels crazy and like a big vision or a big milestone for you today, as you get near that milestone, as you reach that milestone, that will normalize. And what's cool about that, I think, is that it allows you to think bigger and it allows you to really realize the impact that like you can hold in the world as a one human, even though the juxtaposition of us, like we're all just an ant in the world, but as individual ants, we can all make big impact. So in like building Smart Tweets, when we hit 1 million in sales, I was like, oh my God, it's 1 million in sales. This is our big milestone. And then all of a sudden, 1 million felt small. That exact same feeling when we hit 100 million in sales. Wow, 100 million, it feels like such a big milestone. And then I was like, actually, 100 million is, that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of impact that we can make in the world. And that rang to be true with the TPG partnership. And so what's kind of unique about the path that I chose to go with Smart Suites is that it wasn't a full acquisition. So I'm still the largest individual shareholder and I'm still involved in Smart Suites. And this is really kind of a middle step to the next step on our journey in becoming the global leader, because we're still only in North America. And so in many ways, it feels like we're just getting started. So in that sense, the TPG partnership and the resources and kind of like just the natural big thinking that they have has been really cool, because it has helped me to really also feel like we're just getting started. Like, yes, we're in 30,000 stores. Yes, we're across North America, but no one in Europe or in Asia knows what Smart Sweets is or has accessibility to kick sugar candy. Yes, we've helped people kick 5 billion grams of sugar, but what about 100 billion grams of sugar? So it really, really has helped me as well. And it's been cool to just, from a vision standpoint, to really amplify that vision. From a personal standpoint, I mean, I think one of the things that when you go through that, one of the obvious things, of course, is you go from, at least for me, it feeling very all or nothing. In the sense of, I had my personal name attached to all of our debt financing. If it was very all or nothing for me. So it's a really good feeling now from that sense to have the financial freedom and to be able to take a breath in that way. So, but from a perspective of kind of like of how it feels, it's interesting because I think having that perspective of, wow, anything normalizes and it just allows you to think bigger has really been helpful in this next step and in becoming a mom, which like I'm a big believer in like the universe, like in time. It happened 1 week after the TPG partnership, which was like, it was just crazy. And it's been helpful in that way as well, because personally, it's like, I have utmost respect for anyone in startup life and moms in startup life. I don't know if I could do it personally. I don't know if I could juggle that dance. So it's also been really helpful to also after the TPG partnership and now having a new CEO to be able to have that time and space to flow and also being a mom and figuring that whole new part of my identity out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have so many, like I could go in so many different directions, but I'll try and keep it focused, normalizing. I love that you said that because I haven't been able to put a word to it, but I've obviously noticed it on a much smaller scale than you guys did. But just even like, you know, I wanted to get into Whole Foods so bad. I thought that was like the ultimate goal. And then it's like you, it happens. And as you're approaching it, you're right. It's almost like, and I hate to say this in like a cynical way, but like, you know, you just, you fill out the paperwork and like the magic, like slowly starts to get sucked out of it as you're approaching it. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're in Whole Foods, like big whoop. Right. But I think the flip side to that, which is very positive, is it's a nice reminder to just focus on the journey. Because I think if you're just focused on these big events, just as you approach them, like you were saying, like, you know, like to some, an outsider, it's like, oh, you know, the acquisition of your company or, you know, being in all the stores in North America sounds just like, wow, like that's so incredible. I think anyone could just agree on that. But to you, you're like, this is just the beginning. Like, this is just the starting point. And had you really, you know, waited till this one culmination event to feel like, okay, now I can celebrate, you would have been disappointed because you're like, okay, it happened and now what? Right. But I think having that mindset of like, there's always the next, there's always the next, it doesn't mean that you can't be happy or satisfied with what you've achieved, but it's, I think it's just a nice reminder to be like, just enjoy the journey and not sort of be tunnel vision on this, you know, event in the far distant future that you're glamorizing in your mind, because it's going to just feel, like you said, kind of normalized as you approach it.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's okay to like work towards something and like be excited about that milestone. But like you said, I think just like having that perspective of like, even though it feels like a big milestone, it's going to normalize. And so how is that feeding into like the larger vision, and what is that serving for like larger vision for yourself and what you're wanting to create in the world and for what you're wanting the company to create in the world. I find that gives me a lot of peace for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I guess just kind of wrapping up, I would love to hear what's next for you. And also in addition to that, kind of leaving people with, you know, the biggest things that you've learned in your journey so far.
So for me, like one of the things that like, as I've been on the building journey of Smart Suites as well, that I've become hugely passionate about is supporting other women entrepreneurs, and specifically other like young women entrepreneurs, because it's like all those things that you feel of like, am I capable? The uncertainty, how do I even get started? Those are like the feelings that everyone has had. It's those that keep going and that take one step and foot in front of the other that actually begin building something. And I think the relatability of that and just knowing, like, I wish when I was starting Smart Suites, there was someone that I could have related to on that front, because it would have made me feel like I am capable and I can do this. And so I think that's something I've become super passionate about. And so supporting other women on their journeys, and created a charity with actually our past COO and current board chair called Sweet Futures to really with the vision of doing that, empowering other women. And then also continuing to build Smart Suites in a role that looks a lot different from how it was the past 5 years. And so now I'm a board member and involved operationally on different things like innovation, but at a higher level. And then also now being a mom to Willa, and like really being present and focusing on that. So that's kind of what's next for me now. And then what I would want to like leave anyone with, I mean, I think just like that, you know, you are capable. I think each step along Smart Suites journey, first it was like, I don't know how I'll do this. It's so overwhelming. Then as we were scaling, I had imposter syndrome and I was like, oh my God, like, am I the right person to be doing this? I felt like I was like, I'd have to go hide in a bathroom stall, like power pose, and then like walk out. And also that there's like authenticity in being vulnerable. It's okay to be vulnerable. And I think that makes you more authentic as well as a person. And that, and also I think just to continue putting one foot in front of the other, it's overwhelming to think like, okay, how am I going to create my vision when you're thinking of the big picture? And while it's important to think of that, just focus on what's tomorrow. Focus on what you have to get done tomorrow, then focus on the day after that and the day after that. And then all of a sudden you'll find yourself in a place where you're going like, I'm doing it. And then you just continue to take one foot in front of the other. And in doing that, I found it also helpful to celebrate the little wins. This person replied to my LinkedIn message. This buyer didn't reply to my email yet, but he opened it. Really focusing on those little moments as well, to just give yourself the fuel, energy, and inspiration to continue moving forward.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, this was honestly probably one of my favorite episodes. So much goodness in there. Like, I'm going to go back and re-listen, because it's hard to interview and also like take it. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so, you know, educational, but then I'm like, oh shoot, I need to ask a question. Thank you so, so much. I know this is going to just be, you know, so informative for so many people, regardless of whether they want to start a business. Where can people find you? Where can they connect with you and Smart Suites? I mean, again, if you haven't heard of Smart Suites, I don't know where you've been, but yeah, pimp yourself out however you want to.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for creating Alicast and all the impact that you're making in the world with it while you're building. Like, I think that is like amazing that you are doing that. Yeah. So Smart Suites. Yeah. You can find us at Smart Suites. I am just at Tara Bosch. We have a store locator on smartsuites.com as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks, girl.